Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning and welcome to the Morning Beat. I feel loved as well because my co-host came back from Las Vegas.
Hi, honey.
She took care of her family stuff. Hopefully everything is okay. I'm sure you'll give us an update, but we're glad to have you back in studio. It feels nice.
Thank you so much. Listen, I love my family and I love Lisa's family.
But
I've never been happier to be back.
Okay, are you tired?
I'm so tired. And it came off the heels of my album release party.
Sure.
Even just yesterday, I was telling Vanessa, I was recording from Lisa's mom's house. And I was in Lisa's mom's office doing the show. She came in like three times and was like, do you want more coffee? Do you want some anything? And I was like, girl, I'm on the... We're live.
We're
here.
Good.
So get out of here. Get out of here.
Appreciate it.
Mamala.
Skedaddle.
Yeah, skedaddle, please. Yeah, it was good. Family's a lot, though. I'm happy that I have the opportunity to take care of mine, but I'm happy to be back more.
It's interesting you say that because you are planning, you've got a gig coming up in October, so you're going to be taking some time off for like a week, and I'm going to as well. Since you are, I'm going to take my vacation time the same week.
Yeah.
And I have been looking into going back home to Ohio to see my cousin who moved there, to see my mom, my dad, people I haven't seen since the wedding. And so we're looking at flights. And I used to go home to Ohio for like 10, 11 days.
And too long, honey.
Then it was like 7 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm like, 5 might be the sweet spot. And I'm going to divide that between 2 different locations.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I hear you. Family, the older you get, the more, God, we love them.
Love them.
But...
We
it's a lot.
Love them. I will say, though, always a pleasure is my little baby niecey girl. And she is at this age where she is in love with me. She thinks I'm the greatest person in the entire world. So I like her. And I like my nephew. But that's it.
Well, I still have a bone to pick with her. She was
Why?
At your album release party and wouldn't even say hi to me.
She didn't say hi to you?
No.
That's why she was busy on the red carpet.
She was. And then she was shy girl when you picked her up on stage.
Why was she shy girl?
I don't know.
Yesterday I said...
I'm very tall, so a kid that size looks up at me and that's scary,
But
I'm
it
sure.
didn't make me feel good because I had this dream that the two of you were going to meet and fall in love. In my dream, she was sitting in your lap. She was obsessed with you. All of which she probably will be when the time is right.
We did meet once at the Abbey.
No, remember when she came into the morning show with us?
Oh, yeah, she did do that, too.
And then
sat
she
in the
was so bored after
she
an
hated
hour.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, my little snooky.
So
snooky.
I guess we've met 3 times now, and only 1 time has she looked me in the eyes. Way to go, Natalia.
Way to go, Natalia.
Oh, we have a great show coming up for you, though. This is so sweet. I love that our producer started things off. She listens to me. Today is my 10-year anniversary.
That's right, honey. 10 years.
I know. We don't know if
that's a big deal.
Yeah. Well, my parents are the 14th, so we just made it the 15th. And I have an ex whose birthday is the 14th, so we made it the 15th many, many years ago. I don't know what the actual date was. But we've celebrated on the 15th for many, many years. And we're going to kick off things here in just a moment as we reflect on couples that we celebrate. Right? Is that what we're looking at, Vanessa? Very, very. My name and my husband's name better be in there. I'm just saying. It better be in this article.
It better be in there, and if it's not, I'm going to say it.
It's also, you know what it is?
Tell me.
Therapy Thursdays. You had a rough time with your family. Maybe you need a little bit of therapy. You're in the right place.
Oh my God, yes.
We're also talking Hispanic Heritage Month. Wait, that starts the same day as my anniversary, Vanessa? It's today? Wow. Do you feel connected to me right now?
I feel like in your future, I might see a Latino baby.
Oh!
Just kidding.
Well, why not? We have a black husband, a white husband. Let's have a Latino child and then maybe an Asian daughter. Maybe a Latino son and an Asian daughter.
That's so cute.
We could be a full race. I will say, since I was younger, I've always dreamt of having a big rainbow family. I don't care about the ethnicity of my children. I just want my children to be loved.
Listen, Natalia's Italian and Mexican. You can have her.
Okay, enough about Natalia, all right? It's about me right now.
I spent a lot of time with her.
Want to do some news on the beach?
Yes, I do. The Miami Beach City Commission has released a resolution condemning the Miami-Dade School Board's decision not to recognize LGBTQ History Month due to Florida's Don't Say Gay law. The resolution encourages parents, parent-teacher associations, and school principals in Miami-Dade County to recognize October as LGBTQ History Month and to teach LGBTQ history in their schools to the fullest extent permitted by the law. It also ordered the city to publish a sample resolution recognizing LGBTQ History Month on its website that schools, clubs, and other organizations can use as a guide. Out Gay Commissioner Alex Fernandez sponsored the resolution, which passed 5-2-1. All right, let's get into a little bit of weather. It's getting a little chilly. I went outside today, and I was really feeling the pumpkin spice latte vibes.
It's really high of like 80 today.
You're right. You are right. It actually is a high of 80 today here in LA. 93 in Vegas, 97 in Palm Springs, 89 in Houston, 86 in Miami, 66 in San Francisco, 67 in Buffalo, a high of 71 in Cleveland, 97 in La Quinta, and 72 in Boston. Now give us a vibe of the day.
You know, I think I'm going to repeat this one because it's my 10-year anniversary, and I'm going to use as my vibe of the day a quote from my favorite Broadway musical. I used it a few weeks ago, but I'm going to use it again today.
You do it.
This is on every plate at my wedding reception. The greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return.
Beautiful.
And I've been loved for 10 years, and it feels good.
And that's a big deal, honey.
Yes, and I've loved him for 8.
Yeah.
So there's that.
So sweet. Happy anniversary. All right, coming up, as we celebrate AJ and Emil's 10-year anniversary. Why was I thinking university and anniversary?
It's anniversary university.
School for lovers.
Yes.
And you're the teacher, Daddy. Aren't you?
Professor Gibson. it's our thing we do sometimes. So, that's
Professor Gibson back to you next.
The Morning Beat with AJ and Michaela. Channel Q.
All right. So as we celebrate around the world, my 10-year anniversary.
Mm-hmm, that's right, honey.
Oh, Vanessa, you know what this song means to me. Do you know the story? This was supposed to play during the fireworks at the finale of our wedding.
So sweet.
And it got rained out. We've still not been reimbursed for those fireworks, but...
Really?
We got rained out, yeah. And, so beautiful.
It was such a beautiful wedding, though.
Love that song. My husband's still very much asleep. But we're gonna move forward, and we're gonna celebrate other queer couples who maybe are still together or maybe not so much together.
Okay.
First, I would like to give a shout out to DJ Lisa Pittman and Michaela Goldfarb for their 7 years together.
We love Lisa, little dum-dum Lisa.
But we found out not long ago during the pandemic that Cal Penn is engaged. He and his fiance Josh are still very much together, so we'd like to celebrate them. However, remember Grimes briefly dated Chelsea Manning after Grimes split from Elon Musk?
No, I don't.
They even lived together for a while, which is really interesting. They are not together. You know who is together? Cynthia Nixon. Miranda, she's still with her partner, Christine Marinoni. Bronwyn, remember her? Real Housewives of OC.
Bronwyn is so problematic. I do not even bother with her.
I saw her at an event a few weeks back, and it was interesting because it was an event downtown. It was a premiere for a TV show, for a pilot. And I was one of about 2 white people at the entire thing, right? And it was very much celebrating black queer love, this entire event was. And it was me, and I was there with my husband, and I was like, okay, this makes sense, I guess. I'm here with my husband, and I know the people that were producing the show. And then Bronwyn was there, walking the red carpet, and I was like, what is happening right now?
Mm.
It's an odd situation. How about Andrew Rannells? Still with his partner, Tuck Watkins.
Fabulous.
Tuck was just in Uncoupled on with Neil Patrick Harris.
I love that.
He played the bad boy ex-husband or ex-boyfriend.
Listen, we love bad boys. I'm also kind of sad about this news. Josh Flagg and Bobby Boyd.
Yeah,
they were married for 5 years.
That happened this last year. It's interesting. I used to know Bobby. We used to like be in the same sort of friend group. And Josh Flagg, before he was ever with Bobby, used to come to my bar and have a couple cocktails and stand there and flirt with me all night long.
Hot, daddy.
Yeah, before he became Josh Flagg.
Yeah, they were cute together, though.
How about, you know who I can't imagine I could move on from? I saw them together just recently.
Tell me.
Sarah Paulson and Holland,
oh,
Holland
my,
Taylor.
Obsessed with
they
them.
They were together at the Emmys, and I was like, I forgot I love them together.
I literally love them so much, and I feel like when they started dating, it made such a humongous, beautiful point of you have seen so many younger women with older men, and that
yes.
was so normalized. And then you see a younger-ish woman with an older woman, and I just love it. Like, I'm obsessed with them.
How about Jodie Foster and Alexandra Hedison? Like, she's really, really hot. Alexandra's hot.
She's super hot.
She's super pretty.
I don't know who that is. What does she do?
Who knows? She's with... Yeah.
Just girlfriends.
Noah Galvin, Ben Platt. That's a good one. Yeah, Christian Siriano is single again. That makes me sad.
Alex and Wanda Sykes.
Love.
I
think
them.
They're fantastic. Sarah Gilbert, Linda Perry did break up. We talked to Linda Perry on the show one time, and I said to her,
oh my God, yeah, we did.
Remember, I was like, Linda, you dating yet? And she's like, AJ, Sarah and I split last week. Or whatever it was. I was like, I don't know.
We were going through a lot, okay?
Gay guys move fast. I don't know where you are on the journey, but best of luck.
Amen.
But is there any celebrity couple that like you would like love to see like in our queer community? Like anybody who's single who you think like, oh, I would like to set them up with this person.
Or I mean,
think they'd be great with that person.
I still am like fascinated with Ruby Rose.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like she kind of fell off the face of the earth. Like I literally just don't hear about
her.
You
always sort of circle back to her.
I do. She's my go-to.
What about JoJo Siwa? She's single now. She and her girlfriend Kylie Prue broke up. But it got her out of the closet, which oftentimes that first relationship, that's what it
Listen,
does.
Listen, it got her out of that ponytail, so that's what I'm happy about.
Well, now she's in pigtails.
She is in pigtails?
But who would you see JoJo Siwa with? Is there any young artist you think she'd pair up well with?
No.
Okay.
Because I still see her as like a 10-year-old.
All right, let's do what I know you want me to do. Let's make it about us, right?
Oh, God.
So
okay, bring
it
back.
If you were single, Ruby Rose is out, who would you be with?
You know who I'd be with.
And they have to identify as queer.
You know who I'd be with. She's married with a child.
Oh.
Ashland.
Harris?
Yes.
Ashland, is that her name?
The soccer player.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys know I love her. Hello,
yeah,
duh.
Yeah, she's good. Yeah, if I had
and
to be...
And I'd be with her wife, too. Love them both.
Yeah, I think my fantasies tend to be usually about straight men, and that's problematic, I know, but one person that did give me eyes one time at the Golden Globes, I think I told you this the other day on the show, very much married to Priyanka Chopra, Nick Jonas. He was eyeing me, and I was like, do I have something on my face, or are you a little bit curious? Nick, what's going on?
I think he was a little curious for you.
I'm here for it.
And I'm here for that.
The Morning Beat with AJ Gibson and Michaela Gordon.
Channel Q.
You know, every now and then I've thought to myself, you know what? It would be nice if I could get this for free or get a discount here. And usually what comes to mind is my gym membership, right? I have a couple of them. So I've thought over the years, I'm like, what would it be like just to work at Equinox or to work at the Phoenix Effect, which is my small gym that I go to? They're both $200-$300 a month, right? Could I work there one day a week to get it for free? Because I know the employees get to go there for free. Is that worth it? Right? I remember my very first job, back in college, I worked at Abercrombie & Fitch. While they were very problematic at the time, we didn't quite realize that until we looked back. But I worked there and I got 50% off all the time. And I got amazing clothing.
Obsessed.
Granted, they paid me $5.50 an hour, so I couldn't afford even 50% off. But...
Listen, when I was like 23 years old, went to my Botox doctor at the time and I was like, listen, you need a nurse and it's me. I'm here. And he was like, okay, fine.
A nurse? You were just dubbed yourself a nurse?
Yeah.
Got it.
It was. It was AE Medical Spa.
Self-appointed.
And I was like, it's me. I got scrubs. I worked 3 days a week, honey. I got free facials, Botox, everything. I literally... know how to inject if needed to be done. I mean, I couldn't, obviously, because I'm not a nurse. But I got everything for free. It was honestly the most brilliant thing I've ever done.
So you know the gig. You get it. You understand it.
Yes.
Well, right now, people are going viral on social media because one girl posted that she works 4 hours a month at Starbucks so she can keep her discount. And it's funny. She posted this video. It's going pretty wild on social media. And she said, I'm here, and then somebody comes in and orders like a very complicated, like made-up drink. And I throw down the towel, and I walk out, and I say, I'll see you next month for my four-hour shift. She's done. Doesn't want to deal with it. She's like, I don't work here often enough to really know everything. I work here often enough to know how to make, like, an espresso or a vanilla latte.
I love it.
Like, the basics. So, as an adult, do you think it's one? This is the other part. My husband and I talk sometimes, and we talk sometimes. Every now and then we talk. But we've talked about what would it be like to have like a side job for fun, right? And we're at a point in our careers where sometimes I think the ego gets in the way of other opportunities because I don't ever want to go back to being like a full-time server or bartender like I did for so many years because I get recognized from time to time from being on TV and being on social media. And I think my ego maybe wouldn't be able to handle somebody being like, hi, could I get a Cuba Libre or a Cape Cod? And also, don't I know you from TV?
What do you mean? That was my life when I was a waitress. I decided to be a waitress after American Idol.
And you were 18.
Yeah.
That's different. I'm 42. But having said that, though, I would go get a side job for fun. Like, I would bartend somewhere, like, Friday night.
Listen, bartending and waitressing, I made so much
also that,
money.
Also, the cash is fun.
Like, listen, queen, I don't care what you recognize me as. I was pulling, like, $400 a night.
Yeah.
I was such a good waitress, and I was paying all my bills.
Is there a gig you would do right now to get a discount or to get something for free? Like, would you work at your gym for, 4 hours a month if they offered you a free gym membership?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, I love a deal, and I have no shame, and I'm not embarrassed of anything. If I'm about to save a couple bucks, you can catch me at Equinox on the weekends, honey. No problem. I'm running that spin class.
Good morning, Beat. Channel Q.
It's time for a first round of What's Poppin'. Michaela, what do you have for us?
Okay, well, this is not a shocker at all, honey. Brittany Snow has split with her husband after 2 years of marriage. Tyler Staniland, who is one of the stars on the new Netflix show Selling the OC, was getting a bit flirty with some of his co-stars.
All of them?
Literally every single
one of them. Everybody's really hot on the entire cast.
I don't agree.
You don't think they're good looking?
I don't think he's hot.
Oh, I think he's hot for like straight guy hot. He's hot.
Fine.
He's hot, Michaela.
You think he's hot. I don't think he's hot. I was not understanding the way that all the girls loved him. But you know what? They did. They loved him. And now Tyler and Brittany are splitting. And it's always interesting to me when couples are like, this decision was made with love and mutual respect for one another.
No, it wasn't. They were screaming and fighting and throwing things at each other.
Just be honest.
For sure.
Okay, your man was super inappropriate. Just be honest
about
it.
With everybody. With all the girls.
Drag him.
If I tell you what, and here's the interesting thing, because that was probably filmed about a year ago and then just came out, a couple of months ago. If I'm with my husband, we're in year one of our marriage now.
Mm-hmm.
He gets a reality show. And I'm caught off guard when that reality show comes on air and I see him kissing or like flirting with people the entire time. Other dudes, dunzo. Done.
Hello? And I'm not going to be nice about it. I'm going to be like, Lisa was smoochy coochie.
Yeah.
And guess what? It's a wrap.
Because there's so many layers to it. Not just, like, I can get over an infidelity. I've always said, like, listen, if it happens in our relationship at some point, we'll deal with it.
Right.
Right? At this point, I'm 10 years in, I'm married, I'm not going to walk away from, like, the first time. Even though when I was in my 20s, I was like, absolutely not. Well, now, I'm a little more seasoned, right? But it's not just the infidelity. It's also the not telling you about it for 9 months while the show is not airing and trying to buy time to figure out how to get out of it. And more importantly, I think it's the public humiliation.
That's what it is for me. It's just humiliating to see she was giving him, I don't even know what this, and then they were trying to like normalize it. She was like, I gave him a what do you call it? She's like putting her mouth over his nose.
What's it called when you put your mouth over somebody's
nosy?
Yeah. You put your mouth over somebody's
First
nose.
First of all, that's disgusting.
Disgusting.
Secondly, they were really trying to normalize. They were like, you guys, it's a nosy. No one does that.
Completely shamed, what's her name? The other girl.
Oh, yeah.
Who got drunk and tried to kiss him. And then he revealed with confession that it had happened like multiple times. And I'm like, so why didn't you stop it? Why didn't you let her know?
Then he was like, oh, you guys, don't go after her. Don't be mean to her. Like, defending her.
Yes, because I think he felt bad because here's what I think really happened.
He was flirting back.
Yes, he was drunk and has probably made out with her and then realized, oh, wow, we're on camera now. I can't do this sort of stuff anymore.
Right, exactly.
I'm going to get busted and now I have to figure out how to save my marriage.
She's a whole wild one, though, too. The whole cast I don't like, actually.
Yeah.
I could do without selling OC.
Well, it's because selling OC is male and female. Selling Sunset and Selling Tampa were all female casts. Now
I didn't like Selling Tampa either.
I didn't like that one either. It's for different reasons, though. But they've thrown men into the mix.
But I like men. I like to watch men. I just didn't like this show.
How about the bisexual, sexually fluid guy?
He's cute. He's
so hot.
Yeah, he could come on our show. All right, coming up, do you have depression or just lifestyle fatigue? Okay, lifestyle fatigue. That's the fanciest way of saying you are depressed, honey. Lifestyle fatigue.
I have it.
We're talking about it.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
The Morning Beat with AJ Gibson and Michaela Gordon.
Channel Q.
Coming up this hour for Therapy Thursdays, we're talking about lifestyle fatigue. What is it? You might be mistaking depression as depression, but actually maybe you're just tired of the same old routine. I think it's something so many people can relate to and a lot of us do not talk about.
1,000%.
So we're going to talk about it today in Therapy Thursdays. Coming up here on The Morning Beat in about 10 minutes. So stick around for that conversation.
Good conversation.
We're watching all sorts of things breaking live while we're on the air. There were apparently buses of migrants sent to Martha's Vineyard.
Disgusting.
As well as to Vice President Kamala Harris's house.
Disgusting.
By Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, and Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, two Republicans. They think they're being funny, but these are humans. These are real lives who are being affected. And I can't imagine what it must be like to travel oftentimes by foot over hundreds of miles with your family, all of your belongings just in a bag on your back, trying to find sanctuary and freedom and safety in the United States. And then you get there and the governor uses
you, mockery of you
as a joke. And drops you off at the front door of the
Vice
President.
It's honestly the most disgusting thing I've actually ever heard thus far. They should be ashamed of themselves. It's disgusting, this type of behavior. It is humiliating. Mm-hmm. And I just feel so bad. It makes me want to cry just because I think about like the babies that are also there. Like at the end of the day, these people are human beings.
These parents are just trying
to give their children
a better life, they're trying to survive. And I just don't understand the cruelty of the Republican Party these days. I just don't understand why they think this is okay.
Yeah. Say what you will, think what you will, but to go to these extents to like make a point.
Yeah.
Ron is like, you have kids, Ron DeSantis.
Yeah.
Like, let somebody ship your kids off.
And also, guess what? DeSantis, your family was were immigrants at one point too. Your last name is DeSantis. You immigrated here at some point. Somebody did, right? Unless you're Native American, we all did. At some point. So we'll keep an eye on that story. Try to get somebody to talk about it in Red, White, and Q maybe with us. We'll try to get an expert on. Also, other breaking news. My favorite tennis player of all time, male tennis player, Roger Federer, just announced he's retiring next week after the Laver Cup. He's just an icon. He's just so incredible. 41 years old. I talked about this the other day when Serena Williams announced her retirement. I told my husband, I said, it just feels like my generation is finally moving on, and that makes me sad. because I grew up with them. And as long as you can see your heroes still competing at the highest level, you think, oh, I could still do that or something in your head.
Yeah.
And then you realize, no, I'm in my 40s now and I'm not that young kid anymore.
Yeah.
So Roger Federer, thank you for many, many years. I know there's a lot of tennis fans who listen to our show. He's played some pretty great matches, won some big titles at Indian Wells out in the Coachella Valley. And he will definitely be missed.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's time for News on the Beat. What do you have?
All right. Well, the Miami Beach City Commission has released a resolution condemning the Miami-Dade School Board's decision not to recognize LGBTQ History Month due to Florida's Don't Say Gay law. The resolution encourages parents, parent-teacher associations, and school principals in Miami-Dade County to recognize October as LGBTQ History Month and to teach LGBTQ history in their schools to the fullest extent permitted by the law. It also ordered the city to publish a sample resolution recognizing LGBTQ History Month on its website that schools, clubs, and other organizations can use as a guide. OutGay Commissioner Alex Fernandez sponsored the resolution, which passed 5-2-1. All right, let's get into a little bit of weather. 72 in Boston today, 81 in Chicago, 67 in Seattle, 80 in LA, 67 in San Francisco, 97 in Cathedral City. Now give us a vibe of the day.
I will give you a vibe of the day in honor of my 10th anniversary. This quote is from Moulin Rouge and from my wedding, actually. The greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return. And if you're in the San Francisco area, this is not an advertisement. This is not sponsored. I'm just telling you this because it will change your life. Moulin Rouge just left Los Angeles last week, and they are in San Francisco. They just opened a couple of nights ago, and it's the best Broadway show I've seen in my entire life. 1550 AM, Alice 97.3 FM, HD2. All of our listeners up in the Bay Area, we love you. We adore you. We want you to live your best life. Michaela and I saw this show together, and it was just round of applause after round of applause.
That's right.
And it's just the lighting, the music, the dancing, it's just phenomenal. So go check out Moulin Rouge in San Francisco.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, coming up on Therapy Thursdays, do you have depression or lifestyle fatigue? We're talking to a therapist about it next.
Good Morning Beat, Channel Q.
So the World Health Organization just announced yesterday that we're really close to kicking the pandemic's butt. We're finally coming to the light at the end of the tunnel. If we just do a couple more things right, we might be able to kick this thing to the curb and move on.
Amen.
Thank God, because it feels like we've been in this pandemic for 38 years, right? And along with that, though, I think as we come out of this pandemic and adjust to this new normal, a lot of people are feeling depressed. But is it actually depression, or could you be experiencing something called lifestyle fatigue? So for Therapy Thursdays today, we thought this was a very relatable topic. We reached out to an expert. His name is Sean Grover, who's a psychotherapist who writes for Psychology Today. And actually, one of his articles we came across, which sort of sparked this idea. Sean is on the line with us right now. Sean, how are you doing?
Hey, good morning, Michaela and AJ. I'm looking at photos of you. You look like people who never have lifestyle
Okay.
fatigue.
Good morning,
Go
honey.
On.
That's a way to start this segment off.
Well, listen, okay, that's interesting, though, because interesting that you say that, because working in Hollywood, right, there's a certain expectation, I think, that's placed on us. If you could see us right now, we do not look like those photos, I promise you. But there is a certain expectation to look and present yourself a certain way. But with that, sometimes the outside world just assumes that everything's perfect in your life, that everything must be easy, when in fact, we're hot messes. So talk to us a little bit about depression versus lifestyle fatigue and how to know the difference between the two.
Okay. Well, lifestyle fatigue, what you're saying is you may present yourself to the world a certain way, but how are you feeling inside? That's more personal. So if we look at lifestyle fatigue, or someone who's feeling that fatigue, usually at the core of it is some sort of form of self-neglect or burnout, sort of mindlessly going through tasks without passion or excitement or sleepwalking through your day. When you're creatively, emotionally, and physically stagnant, you're going to be unsatisfied with life, and that's when the fatigue sets in. Depression can be characterological. It could be part of your family, maybe part of your history, but lifestyle fatigue has very specific triggers. And if you're living in that zone of self-neglect and burnout, you're going to be fatigued.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. You know, I will say I'm very grateful to be able to say I don't feel like I experience lifestyle fatigue. I'm in a good place in my life, but I worked super, super hard the past 2 years to get there. But I definitely feel like I was in there during the pandemic. And for a lot of people, life has sort of stayed that way as well, not having to go to the office to go to work, still being able to just stay home and do things that they did in the pandemic. So how would you kind of claw your way out of lifestyle fatigue?
Well, the pandemic had a big effect on this because we all lived sort of touchdown lives, you know, isolated, inactive, not a lot of social contact. This is really a life built for depression. A lot of people will come in feeling depressed, and when we go through their life, we'll see, oh, they're not active, they're not creative. They're consuming more media than they're being creative. They're sort of passively moving through their day. We can call that high-functioning depression or dysthymia, sort of a low level and chronic. It doesn't have a real trigger. You know, it's something we have to look for deeper causes, maybe part of your history or part of your family makeup. But lifestyle fatigue is very specific to, is your condition you're living in now a result of your way of being?
That's real. Because I'll be honest, I definitely have suffered from, how did you say it? High-functioning depression, I believe.
That's right.
Yeah, most of my adult life, I feel like I've been in and out of sort of that reality where people around me all think that I have it all put together and everything's perfect. And in reality, for sometimes days at a time, I just am struggling. But I keep going. And that's just sort of in my DNA, I guess, luckily. Not everybody is able to do that. I will say, though, that I took your quiz. You have 10 questions to ask to figure out if lifestyle fatigue is actually what's happening in your life. And I answered yes to 7 of them. And
good Lord.
Yes. And I'm I consider myself very active, very creative. I'm celebrating my 10-year anniversary with my husband today. We've been married only for 3 months. But he, on the other hand, I think what might also answer yes to 7 of these, because he's been working from home for 3 years. And that's been really, really difficult on him and not having a place to go. So for those of us who might be there, you know, we're still succeeding. We're still functioning at a very high level. But I have felt the last year or two in particular that my creativity has just disappeared, right? Early pandemic, I felt like I had a purpose. I was protecting my family. I was like being responsible. There was a greater good that we were all sort of working towards. And the last year or two, it sort of felt like, okay, now what? So for those of us who maybe can relate to that, what are some tips to get out of it and to get yourself moving again?
Well, I know when I begin to feel when I'm less interested in my work or when I'm drifting during sessions, or I get to the office and I'm looking at my book and thinking, oh, God, you know, I know I'm not taking care of myself. I know there's some neglect. Now, you can take care of yourself to such an extreme that it becomes fatiguing, like people who over-exercise or over-diet and actually wind up depleting themselves. But I just got back from a great vacation, the first one in a long, long time. And I was astonished when I got back to my office. I thought, my God, I love my life. I love my work. I love my patients. I love my life. You know, and I realized, wow, I allowed myself to work myself right down to the bone. And then you begin to hate the thing you love. You know, so when we begin to feel this fatigue, people usually turn to substances for relief, caffeine, alcohol, drugs, overeating, shopping, serial dating, whatever it is. They're looking for external solutions to an internal problem. So when we don't address the internal problem, we just address the symptoms of the problem, our solutions are often self-destructive. So to sit with those feelings, depression to me is your unconscious tapping you on the shoulder and saying, hey, pay attention. Something's out of balance.
So you're telling me
we have to listen to the message of the depression really to get to a real sustainable solution.
So when I'm having my third glass of Sauvignon Blanc on my couch while I'm shopping on Amazon for the 8th day in a row, you're telling me that I need to maybe not do that next time?
I think we'll have to cut off your credit card.
Well, thank you so much, Sean Grover, for having this conversation with us. It really is so important, and so many people are suffering from it, but you can get yourself out of it. Thanks to your great advice. We appreciate this conversation.
Have a great day, Michaela and AJ.
Thank you.
See you later.
You too.
You too. All right, coming up, did your parents ever tell you something that you still believe as adults?
Santa Claus is real.
Yes, that's true.
B Morning B. Channel Q.
The things we were taught as children that were not accurate and in no way, shape, or form helpful, the list is long, right? Not going to call our parents liars, but a lot of our parents were liars. They just were.
Liars.
One that comes to mind for me is when I was young and we would eat like watermelon or something, right? My parents would tell me that if I ate the seed, I'd get a watermelon vine would grow in my tummy or some sort of tree.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with gum. Don't swallow your gum. It's going to be stuck down there for 7 years. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I never thought to look into the science of it all. I just thought, I'm terrified to swallow my gum. And to this day, I kid you not, I used to, and I haven't had one in a while, but I used to have this recurring dream that gum would get stuck in the roof of my mouth and in my teeth, and I'd have to pull and pull and pull and pull and pull, and I would pull forever and couldn't get it all out. My therapist said that that means there's some stress and anxiety going on in my life, and that's why I'm having that dream. I haven't had it for maybe 2 or 3 years, but I think probably because my mom used to tell me that if I swallowed my gum, that I would have all sorts of problems.
Yeah.
She lied.
Big issues. My favorite one, we kind of talked about this in the room, is when you turn the light on in the car at night.
What does that do?
I have no... My mom was like, it's illegal.
Wait.
And I was like, what?
My mom used to say... Wait, my mom did say that.
Yeah.
Is that true? Is that not true?
Apparently, you're not supposed to do it because it's distracting to the cars behind you.
But it's not illegal, though, is it?
It's not illegal.
Because when I was a kid, I think you're talking about, like, it's nighttime, you're driving somewhere, maybe you're coming back from, like, a theme park or dinner, and you want to turn on the light to look for something.
Right.
Parents would freak out.
Right, and you cannot turn it on.
Absolutely cannot. My grandpa used to get really mad if you also turned on the radio.
What?
It's a responsibility to drive a vehicle, and if you can't focus solely on the road and have two hands on the wheel at all time, you shouldn't be behind the wheel of a car. He didn't believe in turning the radio on, period.
Wow.
He would, however, chain smoke and then put a cigarette out in the ashtray in his car. That was no problem.
Yeah, that feels right.
He could definitely multitask when it came to
that. Listen, I don't know what it is with radios, but when I ever have to parallel park or do anything, I have to turn that radio off, honey. I have to literally, I don't know what the music does to me, but I'm like, everything is going quiet. Silence.
Well, I also remember being a kid growing up in Ohio. And a couple of these are very very particular to, like, depending on where you grow up. I grew up around a lot of, like, trees and woods and forests. And I had this weird fear that I was going to get sprayed by a skunk all the time. Because I remember being warned by my parents, don't get sprayed by a skunk. You'll smell for a week. Ugh, and I literally thought, if you would have asked me when I was 10 years old how many times I think I'd be sprayed by a skunk by the time I was 42, I would have said 100. The real number is actually zero. It's never happened to me. But when I was a kid, I was terrified of skunks. Pepe Le Pew, not only was he problematic and sort of rapey, also stinky.
Yeah, I feel like I'm Pepe Le Pew with Lisa.
You are so inappropriate. In all the best ways.
Yeah.
You have the best intentions.
Pepe
You're
Le
also
Pew.
About his size. So
yeah.
And you have the black hair. Wow.
I just chase Lisa around.
All these years
we thought
you were Italian. Turns out you're French.
The Morning Beat with AJ and Michaela. Channel Q.
Do my eyes deceive me? Is Leonardo DiCaprio turning over a new leaf? Is he going after an older woman, Michaela? What's popping?
Well, Leonardo DiCaprio is disproving a major internet theory involving his dating habits by allegedly starting a relationship with 27-year-old model Gigi Hadid.
Wait. So the internet always says he only dates 25 and under. He's like, what is he? Like pushing 50?
Yeah, 47.
47. And he's dating the 27-year-old supermodel, and that's
with
the story.
A child.
With a child. Okay. All right. With Zayn, right?
Breaking barriers. Yeah,
She's
with
a kid
Zayn.
With Zayn Malik. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
He broke up with his girlfriend in more than 4 years, Camila Marone. And the fact that she had just turned 25 reignited the theory that Leonardo DiCaprio only dates 25 and younger. But no, he's hanging out with Gigi Hadid. They've allegedly been out together quite a few times. They're getting to know each other. But Leo is definitely pursuing Gigi. And I think that's hilarious. Dionne Warwick, though, however, said, I just heard about Leonardo DiCaprio's 25-year rule. His loss, you don't know what you're missing.
Wait. Dionne Warwick?
Dionne Warwick threw herself in the mix.
Can I tell you a Dionne Warwick story?
Yes.
Okay, so one time years ago, I was hosting this like disaster of a, it was an award show. I write about it in my book and flipping the script. Get a copy. It's on Amazon. And I'm invited to do this award show like 2 or 3 days before I get hired. It's me and Adrian Bailon from The Real. Alien Bailon Houghton now, I think, or Houghton. And anyways, so we're hosting this thing, and the honoree, the main honoree, was supposed to be Barbara Streisand.
Ooh,
so I was like losing my mind, coming up with all of my favorite Funny Girl and A Star Is Born quotes, like thinking yes. I was going to do a whole gag in front of her. And then like the day before, all of a sudden she had a conflict and couldn't do it anymore. So they were honoring Dionne Warwick. Right? She was like their backup honoree. And there was a part where the show was going so wrong. This is at the El Capitan Theater in Hollywood, right? Everything is falling apart. There, Stevie Wonder had to perform 3 separate times over and over again, the same number, so they could, it was all pre-taped. It wasn't a live show. And he had to do his performance 3 times and give the same speech 3 times. That was on a teleprompter, by the way, and he's totally blind. I don't know how he memorized the whole thing or why it was on a teleprompter, but that's neither here nor there.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, everything is going wrong, and they ask us to go out into the audience and vamp, meaning kill time, like entertain the room until whatever. It's a packed theater. And I'm going on and on, and Adrian's looking at me like, honey, I'm not getting paid enough to vamp this long. So I just take it and do a whole comedy set, 15 minutes, right? Just made up, winged it completely. And I started at, and it's full tuxedo at one point, standing next to Adrian in a ball gown, hosting an award show, and I start talking about how good my butt looks in my tux. Because I've been doing lots and lots of squats. And I look over my shoulder, and Dionne Warwick is sitting on the aisle right next to me, and she goes, "You look great, honey." She gave me a wink, and I about passed out. I was like,
love.
Dionne Warwick is looking at my butt.
So cute.
Sorry, well, you said that name, and I just had to tell the story.
We love it. We love to hear it. Well, Dionne Warwick is also looking at Leonardo DiCaprio's butt, but she's saying, honey, the old is where it's at. And I agree.
The
old is where it's at, honey. An 81-year-old woman is much more experienced than a 25-year-old woman.
Amen.
The Morning Beat with AJ and Michaela. Channel Q.
Welcome back to the show. We have a fantastic hour coming up for you here on The Morning Beat as we begin to honor Hispanic Heritage Month. I love that Hispanic Heritage Month starts on the 15th, by the way.
Yeah.
It better go till the 15th of October, by the way. It better not just be like the last 2 weeks, because that's even worse than Black History Month getting the shortest month out of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But that's neither here nor there. And as a non-Hispanic person, this is my perspective, Vanessa Garcia Ortiz. How do you feel about it? You excited?
I honestly, I don't think about it.
Yeah,
I don't think about it because I feel like I'm Latina every day of the year. Uh-huh. I listen to reggaeton every day. I listen to salsa. So like, cool. Thank you for celebrating us in the U.S. Is this something that we also celebrate in our countries? Honestly, I don't know. And if you do know, DM us.
Well, it's I don't know. Let us know because it's sort of like St. Patrick's Day here in the United States. We're like, yeah, let's go get drunk. And in Ireland, they're like, what is St. Patrick's Day? We don't do that. Or like Cinco de Mayo. Americans think Cinco de Mayo means like the liberation of Mexico absolutely has nothing to do with it. It's not their Independence Day. It's something we celebrate more than other people and in different ways. So we've Americanized this. But we are actually speaking to an expert on this who's an assistant professor in women's and gender studies to talk about the term Latinx. You've probably heard it more and more recently as a sort of catch-all for the entire community. And I've asked you this, Vanessa, before. I'm like, is it appropriate? Should I say Latinx? Should I say Latin? Should I say Hispanic? What do I say?
I honestly do not like the word Latinx.
Exactly.
I don't like it because our Spanish language is
masculine, feminine.
That's just how it is. And if we do that to that word, then we would have to change the whole
entire language. And that is, it's an interesting conversation so because the Romance languages, like they all derive basically from Latin, you know, Spanish and French and others, they are definitely, they live in that world, the binary, male, female, masculine, feminine. And in this new woke sort of era we're living in, how do you make it all work and make it all make sense for everybody? Or is that just asking way too much? Is it not even necessary? So we're going to talk to a professor about this coming up here this hour. So make sure you stick around for that. Right now, though, it's time for News on the Beat with Michaela Gordon. I almost said Goldfarb.
I know. I heard it.
I almost said Goldfarb. I've been saying it a lot lately. And just for a quick reminder, your family's last name was at one point Goldfarb?
Goldfarb.
And who changed it?
My dad's... I don't know. My dad's mom or my dad's mom's mom?
Got it. They do that sometimes. My husband's name is Emil, spelled E-M-I-L-E. He's a junior. His father's senior, but his grandfather was also named Emil, spelled A-M-E-A-L.
Mm.
So they switched it at one point, too, to be the French pronunciation because his father's a descendant of slaves in Louisiana, which was a French territory.
Wow.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Right now, it's time for News on the Beat, though. What do you have?
Okay, babe. The Supreme Court in a 5-4 vote declined a request from New York City-based Yeshiva University to block a New York County Supreme Court order that requires the university to recognize the Pride Alliance LGBTQ student club. Last week, Associate U.S. Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor, in a brief order, granted an emergency request made by Yeshiva University to temporarily block the order by New York County Supreme Court judge who had ruled this past June that Yeshiva was bound by the New York City Human Rights Law, which bars discrimination based on sexual orientation. In its order, the High Court noted that the New York State Courts had yet to issue a final order in the case and that Yeshiva could return to the U.S. Supreme Court after the New York Courts had acted. All right, another news. Grindr, the popular dating app used by millions of gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer people, named a new CEO who is scheduled to take the company public this fall with an ambitious $2.1 billion valuation. Arizona will take over on October 19th as Grindr prepares to go public by merging with a special purpose acquisition company. In a statement, Arizona called Grindr, which had about 11 million monthly active users around the world last year, an unbelievable business. Their hard work and a laser focus on delivering great products to a starkly undeserved market are inspiring and deliver incredibly strong business results, said Arison, who is openly gay. All right, let's get into weather. 72 in Boston today, Chicago 81, 67 in Seattle, 80 in LA. San Francisco is going to be 67 and 97 in Cathedral City. May I give us a vibe of the day?
This one's in honor of my husband on our 10th dating anniversary, September 15th. Also, by the way, he posted a Instagram Reels on my account. So go to underscore AJ Gibson. Give it some love right now. Leave us a comment. We'd appreciate it. This was from our wedding. It's also from Moulin Rouge and from Nature Boy. The greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return.
Absolutely. That's so beautiful. All right, coming up, we're having a really important conversation in honor of Hispanic Heritage Month. Why Latinx is actually quite problematic, coming up next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Morning Beat with AJ and Michaela. Channel Q.
Welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for hanging out with us here on The Morning Beat. We have a fantastic hour coming up. But right now, though, as we begin Hispanic Heritage Month, there is a term that has been around for years that sort of encompasses, at least in America, we think it encompasses the entire Latin community, and that is Latinx. And our producer, Vanessa, is Colombian, and a couple days ago, as we knew that Hispanic Heritage Month was right around the corner, I asked her, is Latinx, does that work? Am I supposed to say Hispanic? I don't want to be inappropriate or disrespectful, so how would you like to be referred to? And it opened up Pandora's box, because she is not a fan of the term Latinx.
Mm-mm.
Right? So she did some digging and found an expert who wrote a really fascinating article that really sort of breaks down the history of Latinx and why it might not be the most perfect option for all of us. Her name is Dr. Melissa Ochoa, and she is an assistant professor in the Women's and Gender Studies Department. Melissa, Dr. Ochoa,
that's
how
okay.
are you?
You can call me Melissa.
Wait, listen.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're a gay radio station. We're very informal. We usually call our doctors by their first names. I will refer
that's
to you as
fine.
Dr. Ochoa. This term Latinx, right? For those of us who are not of the community, but we've heard it for years now, is it something we should be using, or is there a better alternative?
Yes, I am not a fan. And I have not been a fan for a while, and I've been wanting to write this. And it just so happened that the universe kind of made it happen, and it worked perfectly with the fact that Spain and Argentina made these public release statements banning it through the government and not allowing any inclusive language, which we can talk about here in a minute, not just Latinx, but also not Latine. It's not inclusive, and it actually has been imposed by academia onto the general population. So there is a better alternative, Latina, and we can talk more about why Latinx is not as inclusive as many think it is, even though media and academia really imposes it onto the general population. And I can get into that if you'd like.
Of course.
Yeah, please do.
Okay, great. So for starters, academia has really been using the term Latinx. We don't really know how it originated or who it originated from specifically, but we know it emerged around 2004 and it became really popular in 2014, and Webster Dictionary put it in 2018. And we know that the individuals who either self-identify as Latinx or are aware of the term are likely to be U.S. born. They're likely to be between 18 and 29 years old. They're predominantly English speakers. They have some college education. So these are people who are pretty privileged in some sense. So the most marginalized communities do not use Latinx. In fact, less than 5% of the U.S. population uses Latinx. So you really have to ask yourself, is it inclusive to label a population Latinx when they don't use it themselves, when they don't self-identify that way?
Yeah, well, you say something really fascinating in this article, and it really made me think about it from a different perspective, how you had a piece that you had written, an article that you had submitted to an academic journal, and they asked you to replace Latino and Latina with Latinx. And you said, and your thought process was, well, you're okay using man or woman when it's written in English. So why on earth would I do this? And I think this is where, especially like we're talking about inclusivity, right? On our station, yeah. we want to be allies to everybody because we appreciate our allies, and that includes the Latina community, right? And so we want to do better. We want to do our absolute best. And I think sometimes people just aren't sure how. You know, the English language doesn't really have masculine, feminine. But the love languages all
That's
do.
Right.
Spanish does. French does. So how do we get to a place where we're not offending people, but we're also not so afraid to offend that we don't say anything?
Exactly. And that's just it. The term, you know, to be inclusive, it's not a blanket identity. So you don't you give equitable weight to these vastly diverse experiences and knowledge. You don't hide gender. And so for me, we already know that women of color are severely underrepresented. And so when you use Latinx, you further hide women of color. You know, in this case, we're talking about Latinas. You hide their contributions and their identity. And so it was very annoying and frustrating for me to get that kind of feedback from that reviewer. And then to also have that reviewer not think about the implications of what they just said on how it was okay for me to use man and woman for my white participants, but I couldn't make that same distinction by gender for my Latina participants.
Well,
did not make any sense.
I'm going to tell you this. Somebody born and raised in the United States, there's a white guy, a very cis, gay, white man. There are different standards, and I think we're finally starting to realize a lot of them, you know, that our parents and grandparents kind of just took for granted. Like the fact that we even say, like, African-American, Latin-American, Chinese-American, like, no, just American.
Yeah.
It's fascinating, though. So I want to know, because here at Channel Q, we try to be inclusive of everyone. Mm-hmm. So what do you say to somebody who maybe is trying to be supportive, they don't speak a language that has masculine and feminine, and they maybe identify as non-binary, or they don't fall into one of the two genders that we've historically sort of accepted? Like, what do you say to those people? How do we sort of address that?
So there has already been a term that for some reason academia has overlooked that social activists have been using in Latin America, and that is Latine. Mm. And the reason why Latine works better than Latinx is because it actually works with the Spanish language. Mm. And so Latinx yes, that is an identity that can be used for those that are non-binary, and it can also be used in general, you know, for gendered languages. You can have a room of, oh, I'm so sorry, hold on.
She's a very busy woman.
Don't be sorry. You have a whole life.
Our phones go off all the time, Dr. Melissa. You do whatever you need to do.
Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. You can have a room full of 100 people, and 99 of them are women, one man. And you will have to say Latinos. And that's where Latinx was helpful as well. But all of that can be still with Latine. You can still use that with Latine.
I love the clarification.
Yeah. Now...
Yes.
Something that Latine does that Latinx does not is you can use the E for articles and you can use them for pronouns.
Ooh.
You cannot use that for the X. You cannot pronunciate, you know, for él, ella.
Yeah.
You cannot say ELLX. Mm. You cannot say LXS.
Right.
But you can say les. You can say le. You can say ella.
Ooh.
You can say bienvenides.
Well, I will say
you
this.
You can even use them for nationalities.
I took four years of Spanish in college, and you're all of a sudden bringing back all sorts of uncomfortable memories,
yes.
Pop quizzes, and the such. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
we definitely want to reach back out to you later this month as we continue honoring Hispanic Heritage Month. Dr. Melissa Ochoa, we appreciate you. It reminded me, Michaela, she said there could be 100 people in the room or 99 people in the room. It reminded me of Lady Gaga saying,
I thought that's what she was
all it
say.
Takes is Bradley Cooper. And,
to care about you.
That's neither here nor there, but I thought I'd just throw that in there. Thank you, Dr. Melissa.
Thank you, Dr. Melissa.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, coming up, shouldn't this gal find new friends after they said she wasn't attractive enough for her husband?
What?
We're going to talk about it next.
The Morning Beat with AJ and Michaela. Channel Q.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. If you missed our last conversation as we begin Hispanic Heritage Month, we had a conversation about the term Latinx and why it might be problematic. And we also offered an alternative. So if that's something you're interested in, go listen to our podcast at wearechannelq.com. You can also catch up on all of our old episodes at that same website. And if you're new to our show, there's all sorts of fun content on there. Podcast, articles, all kinds of stuff. So go catch up and then come hang out with us again tomorrow morning and every day, Monday through Friday.
That's right.
How about this one? This person is asking, help, my friends don't think I'm attractive enough to be with my hot husband. What does that bring up for you?
First of all, you need new friends. Who would say that?
Right.
Ew.
I follow this account on TikTok, right? And her entire TikTok account, I can't think of her name, but if I find it, I'll share it on my social media because I think this girl's fantastic. And she gets dragged a lot because she's heavier and her husband is very muscular and very fit and very, very, very attractive. She's also very beautiful, but she's a big girl. And the comments that people leave her because saying, oh, there's no way this is real. This has to be made up. He doesn't really love you. Like, they call her fat. They body shame her.
Oh, my God.
All sorts of things. And she's like, he likes it. A little cushion for the pushing. He's into it. And they are so sexy together. Like, they actually have a really strong love, as it appears on TikTok at least, right? And some of these videos, they're really challenging people's perception of what is beauty, right? And who belongs together. Well, this woman is 49 and their husband is 42. They say, I love the way I look and the way I've aged, so I don't say the following to be self-deprecating. But her husband, Quinn, is breathtakingly gorgeous and has only grown more handsome with age. Women and men are drawn to him, and I can't fault them for their taste. Most people are respectful about it, but there have been a number of people over the years who've either believed I wasn't good-looking enough for Quinn or that he would cheat on me, possibly with them.
Oh, my God.
Those experiences bothered us both, but we love and trust each other, and it's easy to move on from them. 17 years and 3 kids in, I don't think about the so-called discrepancy between our looks unless someone calls it to my attention. Well, recently, one of her good friends did just that and texted screenshots of a conversation between her and a couple other friends, and they were all going on about how are they together? How are they still together? It doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's so offensive.
It's so offensive. Listen to me. I feel like my ex was a guest model. Like, so, so handsome.
Wait, was I supposed to guess where he modeled?
Yeah.
Where?
You were. No, a guest model.
Got it.
And he was like gorgeous. And people would assume that he'd like date another model. And I was like, not even really his type.
But you're hot.
Yeah, but I'm a different hot.
I just wanted to see. I wanted to see if you'd accept it. Yeah, I'm gorgeous. You. I love that. Yeah, you're like, yes, you're absolutely correct. However, I'm different.
But I sometimes would be like, is he too hot for me? Like, because he's like a whole model, like a real like yeah. whole model.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, no, you're incredible, Michaela, and you're funny. So that's the most important thing
that
to
part.
Me. But it's so important to not shame your friends or their relationships. And you don't know what people, I've met some of the most beautiful people that have the ugliest personalities. They're so gross. And vice versa, beautiful, beautiful people with beautiful personalities. And I just think that's such a rude thing to say.
Well, I think people have a hard time wrapping their brains around happiness and love and joy if they yeah. don't experience it in their own lives. And we have friends who are all very supportive of our relationship. It's our 10th anniversary today. We're going strong. You know, we just got married. And people always say to us, like our friends have always said, like, you guys just make sense together. You just look good together. You make sense together. And not because we look alike or that our personalities are similar, because we're very different, actually, in some ways. But we respect each other.
Right.
And we don't surround ourselves with friends. If we had friends who were saying this sort of stuff, they wouldn't be in our life. Period.
Never.
Never.
Not going to happen. Yeah, babe, you got to get new friends. This is not an okay thing to say or do. Don't be rude to your friends. Okay, coming up, another celebrity couple is admitting they are finally together. Find out who it is next.
The Morning Beat with AJ Gibson and Michaela Gordon. Channel Q.
It's time for another round of What's Poppin', and I have one question.
Go on.
Has Cupid struck the cast of Queer Eye?
Ooh.
What's going on?
Okay, well, Jonathan Van Ness and Anthony Perowski are officially together, or at least that's what they want us to believe. Both of the Queer Eye stars and longtime friends posted to their social media today saying that the two of them are finally together and they're cuddling super close. They said, after years of joking about it, we're finally together. Here's to giving things a shot more tomorrow. But everyone thinks they're just doing a major collab together. They're not like romantically together.
Yeah, so we're supposed to find out sometime today what's
that's
actually
right.
going on. Okay.
Yes.
That's cute. That's marketing right there. That's PR.
It's so cute. They just look like little darling friends. I can't imagine them being in a relationship. I mean, they could be. We literally could find out that they are in love. But I just feel like they troll us a lot.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll have to wait and see. We've had JVN on the show. They were a lovely human being when we had them on. And Anthony used to date one of my friends. And he was a really nice guy, too. So we'll keep you posted on who's dating who.
Love it.
Now, coming up, does the gay community have a masculinity problem? We might. And we might call it toxic masculinity. And we'll talk about it next.
The Morning Beat, Channel Q.
Does the gay community, we're talking men specifically, have a toxic masculinity problem? Well, yes, according to this article in Queerty. And there are multiple examples shared here. One of some guys recalling a conversation they had while they were at the Eagle in New York. And some young 20-some-year-old gays came in bright colored clothing and skimpy outfits. And they said, you're disrespecting the leather scene. And it's disrespectful. You're not a man. You're not being manly, right? Mm. Then somebody else shares that I was recently turned away at a gay bar in San Francisco because my boyfriend was in a dress. We were told the party wasn't for us. When I asked what that meant, the guy at the door just looked at my boyfriend and said, the party is for men only. Now, this happened in San Francisco. And I think that this is more common than we're probably ready to recognize. And I think I've even been a little bit guilty of this, not outwardly. I would never just like tell somebody you're not welcome here. But in my mind, I think I've had reservations. And I think a perfect example, we were just watching, we just finished season one of Queer as Folk, the reboot.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with the original, right? And it represented who I was and who my friends were at that time.
Right.
I watched the reboot. And it just felt so disconnected from who I am now. And because they had a lot of like non-binary characters and trans characters and a lot of different representation happening that kind of made me feel uncomfortable because honestly, I didn't see myself represented at all.
Yeah.
A lot of drugs, a lot of sex. And I just felt like, I'm like, that's not who I am. But then I was like, am I just judging this younger generation that, you know, feels comfortable wearing a dress and going to a club? So I had to kind of check myself a little bit, even though that might not be for me. I think I was still, I had a little bit of bias, this like toxic masculinity, this idea of like, I'm the right kind of man, they're not. And I think I'm guilty of it too. And I think our entire community is at different moments.
Yeah, this conversation's very interesting because I don't want to be insensitive by any means. Obviously, if you go to a gay male party and your pronouns are not he, him, and you are in a dress, is that the same party?
Yeah. That's a fair question because you have actually dealt with this at the Dyna recently.
Yeah.
Finally, the Dyna a couple years back started being a little bit more inclusive and saying not just, you know, cis women are welcome here at the Dyna. Anybody identifies as a female or as non-binary is welcome at the Dyna.
Right.
Right. And how did that change? Did it change the environment? Did it feel different to you? Or did it feel like, hey, we're doing something good here?
Yeah, I think inclusivity is really the most important. And the party is for people who are attracted to women.
Okay.
So, or it used to be just people who were attracted to women.
Mm-hmm.
And now because it's such a large scale, it's non-binary people. It's people who are bisexual. It just opens it up so much. And I think that's really important because I think everyone needs a safe space. But if you are in a dress, I don't know if your pronouns are not he, him, and you're in a dress, if them telling you that the party isn't for you, if that's homophobic, or if they're saying, like, this party is for men who identify as men.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that this person in the dress didn't identify as a man. And that's a whole another wrinkle. And
right.
That's the interesting thing because it feels sometimes, and I think this is almost, we're going through growing pains. And when we have come so far and gotten so many rights so quickly as a community, especially as gay people. Now, the trans community is a different story right now because they're being attacked left and right. But I feel especially as gay men, we've been recognized and accepted so quickly, finally, that I fear that sometimes we forget that it wasn't that long ago that we were the other. And I think that if you start to break it down and say, you're not welcome, you're not welcome, you're not welcome. Well, gay bars only exist because none of us were welcome anywhere else.
Yeah.
So if you start telling, you know, a man or non-binary person or a trans person who comes in the dress that they're not welcome, that feels like a slippery slope to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I hear this, and this is a really, I'm sure we're going to continue having this conversation. This article is just a jumping off point, but I'm sure we'll continue having this in the days and weeks ahead.
Absolutely. All right, coming up, it's Therapy Thursday. Do you have depression or lifestyle fatigue? Ever heard of it? You might have it. Coming up.
Tell me something good.
All right, this is a crisis taking place in Los Angeles that is getting some positive reinforcement. If you've been to Los Angeles in recent years, the unhoused situation is just, it's just a little bit out of control. And unfortunately, oftentimes, you know, the remedies we have for the unhoused don't really suit the situation. A lot of times it comes down to mental health. Right. And addressing that as opposed to just saying, oh, here's a sandwich and $5. Right.
Right.
Well, LA's first street psychiatrist is making his sidewalk rounds, transforming homeless lives. I love this. His name is Dr. Cheyenne Robb. And he is hanging out all over Skid Row. And he goes around. He's 51 years old and goes around and takes gives advice and helps those in need. And he actually gives psychiatry advice to the homeless, which I think is so, so beautiful.
Beautiful.
Because oftentimes there is a man, and I can't think of his name. I feel like his name was John or something. But he used to be standing outside of our grocery store years ago. And a few different times, my husband now would stop and talk to him. He'd buy him dinner or give him whatever cash he had on him. And one time he stood there and talked to him for like half an hour. And the guy said to him that first time, it's been years since anybody's talked to me. Like years since I've had a conversation with somebody. And we all think that our mental health has struggled because of this pandemic, because we've been isolated. Imagine living on the streets, not knowing where you're going to get your next meal or where you're going to sleep every night.
Sad.
And nobody will even talk to you because they assume that you must be, you know, dangerous or crazy or something, mm-hmm. when oftentimes it's not the case. So what this doctor is doing is really courageous. Skid Row is not a safe space, but those are human beings who need help, and to offer your, you know, psychiatric skills, I think is really cool.
Absolutely. All right, this story is amazing. Cardi B surprised her former Bronx middle school with a $100,000 donation for the arts program. She looked adorable. The kids were so excited. And whatever you want to say about Cardi B, she really does give back. She puts her money where her mouth is, and I think she's just adorable. And I love this. The arts programs are so, so important. As a singer growing up, that was like my safe space, and it's just beautiful. All right, we have a great show for you tomorrow. Will Rollins, who is the Democratic candidate for Congress in California's 41st Congressional District in Palm Springs, is joining us today. Make sure you stick around, because coming up on Loveline, we're revisiting non-monogamy with Dr. Chris. So it'll be a great show for you to tune into, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.